Thank you so much for the privilege to be gathered here. For unto the Lord indeed shall the guardian of the people be. My Father, as we go into your word, I strip myself, Lord, of every confidence I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability to share your word, or even my past experience in sharing. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the help of Holy Spirit, as I dock on that community, that cause your word to go out of me in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in heart and life, causing our wills to become more humble, and minds further enlightened by revelation knowledge of the word that goes forth, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As a good word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life. Let it cause needs in life to men, causing glory to go to the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings unto all the sons of men. I ask you for grace to redeem me time. Help me to bring out of treasure of the world things both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I talk under your grace, Lord Jesus. I receive your help and your mercy to be a faithful steward. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's say together, occupy till I come. It's so interesting, the song that the choir sang. You see, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, say, Lord Jesus Christ said, he talking about the mystery of the seven stars. He said that he's the one, he holds the angels, that is the pastor of those churches. And the churches are also holding everyone. I want us to have that understanding as we go into the world today. You see, just there's so much fear. You know, different things that are happening, even our nation, Nigeria, and the world at large. But you see, God will want us to be strong. Because the Bible says that, you know, says, fear not. And we're talking to them of, I think it's Isaiah 35. He said, behold, your God will come with vengeance, and God will take recompense, and he will save you. You know, see, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap as an ass, the donkey of donkeys shall sing, for the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. That's what the promise that God has given us, and will surely bring it to pass. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 19. We read from verses 11 to 13. Actually, it's the message Pastor shared some years ago. You know, it titled Occupying the Air. But I've called it Occupy Till I Come. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Are we there? Let's read together. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because it was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Next verse. And he said, therefore, and then give them a parable, you see. As he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into where? A far country, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Say, nobleman is going to return. Next verse. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Let's just get out. Occupy till I come. So you see, this, I'm going to apply it as different applications in manifold wisdom of God. But we're going to see what God is actually telling us when he said that we should occupy. He told his servants. Servants are the men of God, those that are put in charge of a church. He gave them 10 pounds. You know, that 10 pounds could relate to anything, a pound each. At least everybody has the same measure of faith, same measure of love when we started, when we get born again. And he told them when he was going, he said, I'm going to return. But before I return, he was giving them a charge. Make sure you occupy until I come. That is, don't be idle. Don't lose the grounds. Rather, gain more grounds. That is what he was telling them. So, what does it mean to occupy? The dictionary meaning says that to fill. Did I say to fill? Take up, invade, march aggressively into another's territory by military force for the purpose of conquest and occupation. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You see, I think it was last week I got home and I was just praying, and all of a sudden this song just came back to me. That's how I got this message. Now I went to check pastor's weekly rema to get a clear understanding. It's a Yoruba song. It says, Do dimu emi fere de be ni Jesu wi run down pada so pe a wa yo dimu. That is, which you hold the fort. There's a place that says, Ogun bo no, giri giri, awa. You understand that song? So as I knelt down to pray, God brought that song back to me. And I understood that there is a warfare going on over the heavenlies, over our lives, and over our nation. And God is saying, hold the fort. Don't lose ground. The Bible says about the children of Ephraim, he said they were armed with bows and arrows. He said, but they turned back in the day of battle. We are in a day of battle. It's a day that kings
God's war to battle. It's not a time to stay back and sleep like David did. Said the Ephraim. He said they were armed with bows. They had the weapons. They had everything. Said, but they turned back in the day of battle. Book of Psalms. I think it's in Psalms. Don't have to turn there. Just trying to build up the message. 78 verse 9. Why did Ephraim turn back? Because of idolatry. Ephraim is joined to idols. Say, leave him alone. That is why most people are not concerned about the battle that is going on over our nation. They have the weapons. They have those weapons. But they've turned back. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. The Bible says that God will give strength to those that turn the battle to the gates. Each time in Good Morning Jesus, man will say something. He said, the best form of defense is attack. We're not to cower down and then, okay, this one is happening. Okay, so, so and so is happening. No. Even though our warfare is not carnal, it is mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down of imagination, breaking the captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like Pastor said the other day, he said, diligence is at the thought level. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I put here, I say, the scripture I just quoted is not talking about the physical occupation. It's a spiritual occupation in which we occupy the air, in which we dethrone Satan from the heavenlies. Not just over our nation, we start by over our life, dwelling collectively, and then over our nation. You see, because the Bible says the heavens do rule. It is those that control the heavens that control what is going on. You see, if you hear stories of people taking land and do all things in the physical, no, they've taken it in the realm of the spirit. That's what Pastor Warren Sharon Bishop said. Said there's a church that is sleeping. Said, why men slept? But what, I asked myself, I said, where are the mighty men of David? They did not start as mighty men. They were as gradually as they followed David under the right covering, they became mighty men. Shammah, the Bible says, he stood and fought and defended a piece of ground that the planted lentils on. While the others ran away. Those are the kind of men that God is raising up. That will not run away in the day of battle. So I said, it's a spiritual occupation, not a physical occupation. Even though we translate to that. Many in the church have interpreted that to having many branches in many on every street. But it is no. As you can see, you can have 10,000 branches and yet people are still filling the whole atmosphere. So, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 explains it and makes it clear. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, put in Amplified. In King James, it says that, give no place to the devil. But put in Amplified, I want to see in Amplified, then we'll move on from there. Are we there in Amplified? Let's please together say, leave no such room. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Say, don't give him opportunity. I'm getting ahead of myself. We give him opportunity when we don't pray at every opportunity and every temptation. Say, don't give him a foothold. He will give Satan 1 inch, he will take 10. Now, Papa Raph said years ago, it's how come the garden snake? By the time you get to Revelations from Genesis, that become a dragon. Because we have been feeding it. But the things the people say, dust shall be the serpent's meat. Carnality. The church that ought to destroy the serpent has been feeding it with carnality with the messages we preach. So I put it here to summarize the way Pastor put it in grammar. I put it there. Let's open to Romans chapter. Before I open, let me just give a background. You see, when we got born again, God gave us a measure of his life in our spirit. That measure is supposed to grow as we pray and we do our Bible, all we're taught to fill our soul and our body. That's what the woman said. He said, the kingdom of God is like a woman that took leaven and put in 3 measures of beer until the whole was leavened. So this is our first part of God, which is to summarize perfecting the love of God. That is, but as we do that, as we fill that life to flow from our spirit into our souls and to our physical body, which is our personal purpose and destiny, the perfection of the fullness of Christ. That life, while we are doing that, must also go forth into the atmosphere and occupy the air. Are you following me? So it is very, that's why the Bible says, Romans chapter 6 verse 12. It says, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal bodies. That word reigns talks about a king. Somebody that had dominion. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That you should what? Obey it in its laws thereof. What this is saying is this. The sin that you leave unchecked in your body will dominate you. The sin that is left in the atmosphere that is not checked will dominate the people under that sphere of influence. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So as we continue, like I said, we are to fill the atmosphere with the power of God in more than enough measure. You see, as I'm getting out of myself, this is what we call revival. You see, as I was preparing, God reminded me of Father Nash. When the Tasman is going to go and minister somewhere, they will go weeks, about 3 weeks ahead, fasting and praying. We travail. You see, the kind of warfare we are in now, praying in the understanding cannot solve it. There's a place for praying in the understanding. But praying in the understanding cannot solve it. It has not solved it, and it cannot solve it, even though we need it. Praying in tongues cannot solve it. It has not solved it. What will solve it is, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Says, shall a nation be born at once? Yes. But only when Zion begins to travel. So you cannot be spending, you can't drop. Otherwise, when you're praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, when Pastor teaches us every Tuesday, it takes about 20 minutes. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. We can't afford to drop. Many more have to join. They will not pray in unity. And can I imagine the amount of power that fills the atmosphere? So I put it there, like Pastor said in that video, said the challenge of the hour for the Zion Church in Nigeria is to arise and to dethrone Satan and occupy the air with the life and the power of God, so that the Holy Spirit can influence men for good and not evil. So that it's Satan that influences men for evil. So is it the power that will release into the atmosphere by people that are not born again? Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. That is the arsenal, the ammunition that Satan uses to do what he has to do. That is why the Bible says that in the millennial reign, they're going to lock him up and there will be peace. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to have that background at the back of our minds. So this spiritual occupation in the air by life and power of God is what determines the light and the conduct of the people in a place or in a nation. See, I'm going to remember saying, how come we've not seen? We are going to see it. You say, well, I've been praying. How come we have not seen this thing? We're going to see. Because if you read how the early in Wales and all this, that's what happened. Unbelievers will start behaving themselves. People not start misbehaving. Why? Because there's an abundance of a life of God. And that life of God from the atmosphere, through the mercy of God, begin to influence the thinking of people. They were thinking and we're doing what is right. Praise the Lord. Bible says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Praise the Lord. So how does this operate? I've mentioned it. But let us put the scripture behind it, which is the present condition that we see. But it is changing in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We know the scripture. Paul was talking, you know, to the Ephesian church. And he said, let's read together. Wherein, in time past, you walked what? According to what? The cause of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. There is a cause like a river, like Pastor has told us, in the air. But if you notice, God wants his people to replace and to displace him. That's why I told Jacob, he said, as a prince, you have prevailed. In the place of prayer, he said, you have prevailed with God and with men. So, what are we saying? This air around us has power, known as spiritual death. That is the ammunition that Satan uses. And it comes via the spirits and the mouths of unbelievers. And not only them, also comes into the air through strange children in the body of Christ. Psalm 144 says that, you know, their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. You know, the Bible says that I can't remember. It said they speak lying vanities. Their right hand is the right hand. So it's not only unbelievers, because that was out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the abundance that comes out from unbelievers is what Satan uses, and it comes out through their mouth. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Praise the Lord. So it comes those two ways, either from unbelievers or from Christians that are ignorant, or those that have forsaken the right way, like Pastor Colin was sharing with us. I follow him. So Satan feels that's how he gets his power. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, Amplified. John was saying it. He said the world around us is under the power of the wicked one. But when you hear these things, then you're wondering, where is hope for us? But there is hope, because God does not say you should remain like that. It is when the body of Christ, you and I, we stand up to our responsibility and we begin to pray effectually and fervently. And then we also shut the back door that Satan used to siphon that power. You see, if death and life is the power of the tongue, if you release, like, let me give an example. If you can fill a bucket with water, but as a hole under that bucket, gradually the thing will leak out. That is where you and I come in. And I begin to perfect the love of God. So I make sure all that power we release in the atmosphere, we don't break rank. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that. Are we there? It says that we know positively that we are of God. And the what? The whole world around us is under the power of what? The evil one. But it's not going to remain like that. If you read the Bible, some that was sent, they were talking about Satan. Everything you hear today, I don't want to talk about them. So I don't want to be negative minded. Even though we are not denying they're not happening. They're actually happening. Kidnapping, violence, and all this. Is we cannot put our effort or concentrate on men. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. At the same Saul, God can convert him to be Paul. And if Saul refuses to change to Paul, do you want to say he will meet his destiny on Mount Gilboa one day? Just preaching. If you remember, when I was telling myself, why do we have to wait? The body of Christ, we always, we like wait like stragglers. Wait, do we have to wait for something to happen to somebody in a very big position in the body of Christ because we wake up? The book of Acts says that when Herod vexed some people, he took John, and he took James. Then he killed James. Then it also took Peter. I was trying to execute him. The Bible says that was when the church woke up. And they began to pray day and night. Day and night. Day and night. They must have been praying in the spirit. But what I want us to see is this. God delivered Peter. But it didn't end there. The prayer they generated was what at the end of the day allowed God to remove Herod. The Bible says that the angels smote him and he bred worms. Why do we have to wait and take things easy? So when kings ought to go to battle. This is the day of battle. And the Bible says, Psalms, say the Lord will cover my head in the day of battle. So we don't need to be afraid. It's a battle that we are winning. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 16, Message Bible. You know, the book of in King James says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. But the righteous shall see their fault. The righteous shall see their fault. So don't concentrate on the wicked that are being multiplied. But the Bible has given us a guarantee. It says the righteous, those in right standing with God, shall see their fault. What does it in Message Bible? It says, when degenerates take charge, crime runs wild. But the righteous will eventually observe their collapse. It does not matter what is going on now, because the generates are in charge. But the Bible lets us to know that what? The righteous crime runs wild. But the righteous will eventually observe. They will eventually observe their fall. God has declared the end from the beginning. You can rest in that. Praise the Lord. So that's what God wants us to know. And it's very, very important. So as we continue, I have another scripture that explains that a lot of scriptures that Pastor has talked about over the years. Proverbs 10:11. He says that the mouth of a righteous is a well of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. See, the wicked is not just an unbeliever. The wicked that comes to Psalm 50 is the Christian that casts instructions behind him. Strange children. Violence covers them out. So you see, in the morning, you know when people wake up, Pastor taught it many years ago when he was teaching on prayer. Get no better to people. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. One of the messages, I can't remember. And he was explaining why you have to wake up early to pray. That is why good morning Jesus said, it's one of the best things that God has done for us in recent times. It gives you the opportunity under the corporate anointing to escape every morning. So that if you join that by the grace of God, you find that God can cocoon you and shield you as you are practicing. I follow him. He said, so he was teaching. Let's say, I don't want to lose my train of thought. He said that the reason why we wake up early, he was trying to explain. I think I'll be able to explain properly. Is that, you see, when we wake up to pray, you know, the fourth watch prayers, many people are still sleeping. You know, all these funny speakers that used to pray in the morning, they are not on yet. So you have less death to overcome in the atmosphere. But by the time you start getting up at 7 o'clock, for God's sake, there's so much in the atmosphere. The resistance is high at that time. So why don't you get up early, finish the job? Because death and life is the power of the tongue. And there's a clash of power every morning in the heavens. So if you have less, why don't you just get up at that time and overcome? So by the time, you know, the people start waking up and saying different things, they start playing different music, whatever, and start filling the atmosphere with the wrong power, spiritual death, you have escaped already. That's where we have to be careful about what we say. It's important what we say. We should not be speaking death into the atmosphere. Or let me put it this way, we should not be singing death as Christians. Don't constitute to the problem. We should not give Satan ammunition. I don't want to sing those silly songs that they sing now, they hear everywhere. You know? I don't want to call. Don't let me remember. You know what I'm talking about? All these songs that are chilled, some of our brethren listen to. They're not even Christian songs, they're worldly songs. They now contribute. And they are, it's either you sing it or you say it, it's the same effect. You are even making it by singing, you are filling the atmosphere with negative things that will hinder what God wants to do. It is like when we heard stories of the Nigerian army, they paid them to go and give our soldiers ammunition. Instead of giving them to fight Boko Haram, they go and give it to them a uniform. That is exactly what is happening. Strange children in the body of Christ. We will not do that in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? The mouth of a righteous must always be aware of life. And I have a very simple example to explain this. You see, when I was thinking about it, God told me, remind me, said, you know what is, that is what you do every day you pray towards the services. God forbid that we should not pray, or pastor and mommy should not pray for a service. You don't want to see what will happen. We come here every, like I was sharing the service, that thank God for covering. That is what God wants to extend to the nation. So everybody will behave themselves. It's not a day you come when people don't pray, then this one will not work. Then the person that's supposed to do something in the sink will not come. Everyone will sing off key. No. But it takes spiritual power to drive out the sin nature in the air for it to occur. So let's open to the book of Acts chapter 19. We'll read from verse 20. I'll be just go through it briefly. The Holy Spirit penned this down for us to see how Satan operates. Are we there? Verse 28. In Ephesus. You know, the guy when we're talking about this guy, the silversmith and all that. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried. And they did what? Saying, great is Diana. Of Ephesians, they opened their mouth and they cried out, saying, you see, what it doesn't matter whether if they are saying, Odosile, they are filling the atmosphere with them. Well, what they said in the ordinary, look at it, it's not wrong. You can, from you know, says, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Said they cried out, saying, very important. That saying is what occupied the air with confusion. Verse 29. It gives Satan ammunition. They will have killed the apostle. They told Apostle Paul, you're not going back here. Don't go. His friend said, don't go. The climate has changed. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Says spirit. But it came from there, say, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And having caught chaos, see the effect of confusion. And Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in trouble, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Listen, they said, when they started speaking, the atmosphere of the whole city, it was a particular corner they were screaming, but that thing filled the whole city with confusion. Verse 32. And they started misbehaving. Next verse, please. 32. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another. For the assembly was confused, because it was filled with confusion. So Satan took that spiritual death in the atmosphere to create confusion. Why? Because of what they were saying. They were not saying, I'm going to drink a beer. They said, great is Diana of the Ephesians. I follow you. But it was coming out from an overflow of spiritual death. Praise the Lord. So he said, when they come together, I was confused. And the more part knew not whereof they were come together. So this is how Satan operates daily. He can do it in a life. He does it in the nation. He does it over continents. To what men say and speak into the atmosphere. But, say but, the righteous shall sit there for. That's what I want us to see. It does not matter if the righteous, the wicked men increase, but the transgression increases. Say, but the righteous shall see their fall. We're going to see how we're going to see their fall in Jesus' name. So this is what the reason behind the situation we have in Nigeria. Today's Bible reading was talking about Satan, Lucifer in Isaiah 14. I don't have time. I think I wrote it down. Isaiah 14, 12. He said that, how art thou fallen, Lucifer, son of a morning star? He says that, now art thou cut down. You that does what weakens the nations. So that means he does it from the air, with the power in the air. Next verse. Verse 16, because of time. 16. 16. Are we there? It says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Say, is this the man that made the earth to be to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So it's not talking about a physical man. In verse, let's move to verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed cities thereof, that openeth not the house of his prisoners. Now, when you see these things, I hear stories that I say, God, what is going on? You people do bad things. They demand for money. They end up, they rape them. They still collect money and kill them. It is them, yet not them. That is the spirit behind what we see. But we are going to see their fall in Jesus' name. Now, why is this message very important? It's very important. I have just two reasons here. I put there, I say, right now, there is a current shaking going on over the heavens in our nation. As we bombard and occupy the air to dethrone Satan through our intercession so that the man child can rule. You see, up there, there's only place for one person. Either Satan stays there or the man child. So as we pray and we travel, we bombard the heavens with this spiritual life, the life of God. When we pray, get your items, I say we lose the things of God to occupy the air. We fill the atmosphere. We saturate, like we say on Tuesday, with the power of God. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of. That was what Daniel was doing for 21 days. He kept on filling the atmosphere with the power of God. That's what we are doing. So, you see, that is what is going on currently in our nation, Nigeria. So, don't let that shake you about the news that we hear all the time. If you read that story, when the master was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there were a set of disciples on ground, and they brought a boy to. And when the master came, they could not cast out the devil. And the master came with James, James and John company. And he said, since when has this thing troubled this boy? Says since he's been young. That seems to be a story in Nigeria. And he said, okay, don't worry. And you know what he did? He said, he spoke to the spirit, not the boy. He said, come out. And what I want us to see is this. When he said that, the Bible says he threw the boy. You know this chakra, when you cut off a chicken's head, you run around as if that's what Satan is doing. Trying to make us drop our weapons. You know when Joel David was going to fight Goliath for 40 good days, go and check. They were not fighting. They were just talking. Goliath will come and kill you. Then everybody will run back. For 40 days, can you imagine? 40 days. God gave them time before he now sent David. There is a David that is going to appear in the camp of Israel in this day. Just like the master came down with Peter, James, and John company, and they're going to deliver that boy. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? That is what is going on. Let's talk about the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 21. The man child must be caught up in this day. whose destiny is to rule the nations with the rod of iron. So what God said. You see, when the shaking begins to go on, you see, it's not when we talk about these things, it's going to start from the church. It's going to flow into the nation. I follow him. So it's not going to, don't look, let's look past it. Look within. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. What does it say? Speak to Zerubbabel. Let's speak to Zerubbabel. Governor, you are saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Next verse. And I will what? Overthrow. Say overthrow. Overthrow. The throne of what? Kingdoms. And I will also destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that are riding them. How? Say how. And the what? And the horses and their riders shall come down, even everyone by the sword of his brother. It's going to implode from within. That's what God is going to do. I'll show you a story in the Bible. Next verse. Next verse. And in that day, said the Lord of hosts, in that same day that this shaking is going on, that they begin to fight against themselves, like God confused their language at the Tower of Babel, that they don't understand each other again. Then they scatter them. Let's go to scatter our enemies in this nation in Jesus' name. And so in that they said the Lord of hosts, will I take the oath of Zerubbabel in that same day, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, said the Lord, I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, said the Lord of hosts. Is there any other verse? So these two things are taking place. Put your eyes on this and not on the shaking. God has said, the son of the bondwoman shall not share with the son of the promise. Say, cast out the bondwoman and her child. Say, cast him out of the heavens. Say, he's not going to inherit. We are the ones that are supposed to go and possess the land. Albeit a spiritual land. Praise the Lord. So, let me put the scripture behind it to see where God did this. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 1. Pastor Kunle touched on it earlier. 1. What does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 1. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And it came to pass, after this also, that the children of Moab, I follow him, let's go, Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides. There are just too many. This one, and that you hear, like, this one is doing this one. This one, they are not coming from, anyway, it doesn't matter. It says that, besides, the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat. To what? Battle. Next verse. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Azon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. Because of time, let me put the verses that are important. Okay, verse 3. They gave him this announcement, which was enough to make him afraid. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim what a fast throughout all Judah. Move to verse 15. What about, I read that scripture. You see, we are used to, he sent people, the what we can call the choir, to go. No. He first of all set himself to fast and to pray. That is the order has been taught. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17. 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. That does not mean we are not going to pray. Don't misinterpret scripture. What he's saying is this. He's saying that it's not by might, nor by power, or by the Spirit of God. So he says that, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, say fear not, nor be dismayed. Say tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 20 to 30. Verse 20. That's Pastor Kunle mentioned. You know, and they rose early when in the morning, forth what's praying. I follow, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. God has said that from beyond rivers of Ethiopia, his plans will come. We believe that. Nothing can change that. Satan has no power. He has nothing to do to change it. It is surely going to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Verse 20, next verse. So when he had consulted with the people, this part we know, he appointed singers unto the Lord and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Next verse. Next verse. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord did what? Said ambushments. The Lord did what? Send ambushments against the children of Ammon. Say Ammon. Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. How were they smitten? Next verse. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to what? Slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one of them helped to destroy another. Hey, look, the God that did this has not changed. So our battle, you see, they didn't fight too. What he's saying here is that they are not called to a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. So when the heavens changed, what they meant for evil, for these people, God turned it for good. They started fighting themselves. It's ridiculous. How can you be fighting? In an army, you find baby brothers. From the same parents. You first of all kill this set of wood, and now look at your brother, you kill him again. Then ask the question, how did the last person kill himself? There must be a time that was one person. Are you following me? This is how God moved. So they're going to implode from within. You see, if they refuse to change, they have a choice. Because God is merciful. That is why Bible says there's not going to end to perish. There are some amongst them that are destined to be part of the end time move, like a big ball. But only God knows them. How about I said, like in that day, he said they would turn their swords to pruning hooks and plowshares. But if they refuse, that thing will implode from within. And one by one, they will finish themselves. That is what God is going to do. Pastor has brought some scriptures recently. You know, I don't have to continue there. Say, after that, the men of Judah, can you imagine? They just went and speak these spoils and everything. God has done it over and over in the New Old Testament. He will give a prophetic word by the prophetic ministry in time of Elisha. And then four lepers that people consider to be nothing, they will be walking quietly. And from then, God will amplify that sound. And they will hear a rumor. They will hear a sound of the Syrian army. Then they will all run away. Leave their horses and everything, which will enable them to even run away faster. We need to know God. Otherwise, he said, my people shall not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Let's put some scriptures behind this. Psalm 58, verse 9. Pastor has quoted them in recent times. Psalm 58, verse 9. Are we there? He said, before your pots can fill the tongues, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Next verse. We need to speak into the atmosphere. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance, and he shall what? Wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Next verse. That has to do with the church, the wicked in the church, and in the world. So that the man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily is a God that judgeth in the earth. But let's look at Jeremiah 23, verse 19. It says the same thing. It says, the whirlwind of the fury of the Lord has gone forth. It will fall upon the head of the wicked. I have time to turn Job 32 or so, verse 20. He said, in the night, we slay strong men. You see, this is not a battle that we are fighting physically. I keep saying it. So you can know that we are supposed to rule in the midst of our enemies on our knees. Said, that whirlwind has gone forth. He said, it will fall upon the head of the wicked, both in the church and also in the nation. It is going to happen. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 20. 19:20, please. Just to mention, Pastor talked about this since recently. And we need to believe his prophets that we can prosper in the purposes of God. We need to take our eyes off what is going on. We don't deny it. We want to focus on the most important things. We should not be distracted with scandals and all things. They're just a waste of time. Jeremiah 23, verse 19. Says, the whirlwind of God's fury says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Next verse. I said, and the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. It's not going to return. It's going to be a sweeping thing over the entire nations of the world, in which God will remove wicked and bad leaders who fail to change, like he did Belteshazzar. God removed him. Why is God, why does God want to do this? See, there's an assignment for the body of Christ. And God will not allow anything to hinder that assignment, because we are working right now on time. Time specific. Between so and so time and so time, this must happen. So God has programmed that thing. That's why we need to rise up. Psalm 64 verse 7 also says the same. Don't have time to turn there. But Pastor has been sharing it. And this will lead to ethnic and religious peace. You see, there's no point. You can believe what you want to believe. Freedom of religion. If you like, go and worship Ogun. That's your own headache. My own is to tell you, but I can't force you. God, even Jesus Christ does not force his Bible. Do you want to go back? So you can't force people. It is wrong. It's a spirit. It's a wrong spirit. It's Satan that dominates people against their free will. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. And this next thing that is going to happen is that this is the key I mentioned now to revival that we're waiting for. Economic and social prosperity in our land. Isaiah 66 verse 8. Let me just... Isaiah 66 verse... This is the key. 66 verse 8. What does it say? Say, who had heard such what a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall the nation be born at once? He's asking a question. It looks impossible now. For as soon as Zion traversed, she did what? Brought forth her children. As a brother, he says that, shall a nation be born at once? Yes. Just like God changed Jacob to Israel. He says that our land will not be called desolate. It shall be called Hephzibah and Beulah. You wake up one day and you see a brand new nation that dwelleth in what? Righteousness. That is what we should be looking at. So what do you see? Let that be your goal. That is what you are looking at every day. What seest thou, Jeremiah? Say, I see the rod of an almond tree. Say, you have seen well. If you see anything apart from the vision that God has given you, are not seeing well. To be careful what we see or what we hear. That is what should be your focus, have you been taught. See the invisible. The promises of God for Nigeria. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, angels of God in the heavenlies, enforcing God's will. Second scripture, I don't have to turn back, Psalm 144. Pastor has taught many times. He says that we no complain in our streets, that our daughters be as plants, grown up in their youths. Our daughter like cornerstone, polished up by the ceiling of a palace. He says, happy is those people that God is their Lord. You don't have to turn back, we all know that scripture. Now, how is this going to take place? It's very, very simple. I've already mentioned it. I've just run through it and we'll close. It's going to take place as we pray diligently with all kinds of prayer. We travel daily in the spirit. Let's say it together. Praying diligently with all types of prayer. We travel daily. Say daily in the spirit. That is why I cannot overemphasize this. Good morning just comes in. It has to be a daily thing. Must say, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto whom is able to save him from death, unto whom is able to save Nigeria from death, and he was heard, and in that he feared. Very important. We can't afford to let this thing slip. The second aspect, after the pastor has taught us, he said, we must bind the devil daily. Say, bind the devil daily. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Say, how can you spoil the goods of a strong man except you first bind him? If you know the image of Jesus Christ, before he sent disciples out, he would have prayed. Then he said they should go out. Then he would stay back, still praying. Then they came back rejoicing. He said, don't rejoice over this. It's just that our names are written in heaven. So because I saw what Satan fall like lightning. He has to fall. And the third thing is that we release into the air the seven spirits of God under the covering of spiritual princes who have prevailed with God in prayer. If you open the book of Isaiah 11 verse 2, it talks about the seven spirits. We do it already by the grace of God. But God just wants us not to be slack in battle. So we do it with understanding. So we set those seven spirits of God to occupy the air. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6, we put the scripture behind it. It is those that have prevailed that can do it. But those that are under their covering also have that same privilege to do it. Because it's for princes that have prevailed. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. Let's see. And the spirit of the Lord. Let's read Revelation because of time. 5 verse 6 because of time. It says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. And seven eyes, which are what? The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So when you pray like that, you send those spirits forth. Not just into the air, over your sphere of influence. Then they begin to dominate. They begin to influence the thinking of people. So they no longer make unrighteous decrees. And those that insist that they will make it, then he has a way of removing them. Praise the Lord. So that's what we do. When we set forth, then the fourth thing that we have to do is that we have to now pray without ceasing. A diligent walk in the spirit by washing of feet at least four times daily, at every opportunity and in every temptation. It is when we do this at every opportunity, at least four times daily, I've been taught, at every opportunity and in every temptation, that we don't give place to the devil. Each time we are not diligent about this, we are not talking about perfecting, having perfected it yet, but we have to consistently do it. Let that be the thing you do every time you see yourself, maybe you are free. Just say, Father, I confess my sins, just my Lord, I'm your son, my prayer. Just pray in tongues. Why are we doing that? To first of all maintain what you have and then to increase and take more ground. See it as that. That is, we are maintaining what I did in the morning. Then I also increase ground. Don't let us lose ground. How about God is saying? Don't let us lose ground by saying the wrong things, singing the wrong things, being slack about it, then give enemy ammunition, like I said earlier on. The ammunition is for the angels of God to use to fight the battle. You give it to the enemy. You come and fight. We'll not do that in Jesus' name. That's how we don't give to the devil. So I put it there. Like Pastor put in the laboratory to him. I say, the more Christians practice these things in unity and in love, the more we control the atmosphere through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit finds it easier to influence men for good rather than Satan influence them for good. It's Satan, like we read in Isaiah 14. It's Satan. Things that men do, I'm wondering, have you lost it? Don't you have any iota of mercy at all? God is in control. So, as I was rounding up when I was praying, okay, let's open the last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 13. Pastor has taught us from this scripture, Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. It says, and a man, 32:30, not 22. Thank you. 32:30. Say, how should one chase 1,000 and two put what? 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. Praise the Lord. As I was rounding up, Lord reminded me of his prophecy. The pastor has shared it before. I'll just read excerpts from it as you stand up and pray. That Papa Egan gave many years ago, and I was talking about Ezekiel's temple. You see, initially in that Ezekiel's temple, he said that the waters issued out from the threshold of that temple. He said it was first of all ankle deep. That has reference to individuals. It has reference to corporate body. But he said as time continued, the measure of water began to increase and increase, and it became waters to swim by. I follow him. He said God will launch another. So in that prophecy, Papa Egan said this. I'll just read. Which is very important, I believe, applies to what we see and what God is about to do. He said that at the same time, even men as you do, shall wax worse and worse. Those that are deceived and desire not the truth, but rather love darkness, it shall become darker still. Many will look into the world and say, Satan and his works are abounding. We must not see that. Say their eyes will be closed to what God is doing, but he will prepare for himself a body, yea, a body of believers, who will rise up strong in faith, and they will be strong and do exploits. He is raising up and will yet raise up. What those in natural vernacular will call a new breed. They will know their rights and privileges, and it shall be said of them, as it was of those in the New Testament, they that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So prepare ye the way of the Lord, for the Lord cometh, but occupy until he comes. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. It's nothing new, but God is saying, let not your hands be slack in battle. That's why it's important for us to put on daily the whole armor of God. We cannot go into this battle without putting on the armor of God, which is the armor of love. That is what we do daily when we pray those love confessions. That's how God covers our head in the day of battle. So we are not a casualty. We will not be a casualty in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet as we respond. Let's dedicate ourselves to this way we taught. And receive fresh mercy and grace. So our hands will not be slack in battle. So where duty calls or danger, be not wanting there. We have prayer meetings full of people whose eyes are like a flame of fire. That is where every battle is. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we'll have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to occupy the air around me until you come. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace to enable me to daily put on the armor of love, praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit we travel under the covering of your kings upon Zion's holy hill, so that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven until you come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
So, Father, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. And so we say, we put up, the Lord puts upon us the mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Shall we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. Tell him and say, you occupy till he comes, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.